So one of those days, the NATO then said that, listen, after cutting grass, making platform, and praying, we can't preach. So what do we do? Let's go back to town and get a preacher that will come and preach. So there's one man they knew. Said, okay, this guy will be able to do this job well. They went and met him. So when that one arrived, he asked them, where will I sleep? He had not crossed their mind. So they showed him the classroom where they were sleeping. They showed him the classroom. So the man asked them, where will I hang my suit? Thank you. Suit. You came to the village. Even if you came with suits, maybe you hide it and you know keep it somewhere. He said, where will I hide my suit? Where hang my suit? They look at him like, suit. We made no provisions for your suit. The man got angry, took his small bag, and walked away. That brother said, okay, I can tell you his name, because it's not a bad thing. That's the guy who was telling the story. Francois Luke, he was one that was telling the story where I went for one school of ministry many years ago. So it was him and his friends that were doing these things. So we're looking at the man like, what? So the man got up and walked away. He said he ran into the bush. He started crying. Because they had been there for days, praying, clearing grass, making platform. Nobody paying them anything. All they said, please, you, just come and preach. We have done the praying. We have done the advertisement. We have done the clearing of platform. But we are too tired to preach. He said that day he swore and told God, please. They were students in university that time. God, please, just help me. Once I just finish, I swear to you, all I will ever do is preach this everlasting gospel. That is Christianity. That is what Christianity is. You were the one telling me the other day, the one church in Enugu here, I won't mention the name. Let me not mention anybody's name. So there's a village somewhere in Enugu. In Enugu here, a village. Those ones were begging. They said, we have church hall. We have a house for the pastors to stay. Please, we are just begging. Give us a pastor. Do you know they couldn't find a pastor to go? Congregation is available. Not come and start church. Come and break ground. The people say, we are here. We want to go to church. This is a hall we use for church. We are the members. The pastor that comes, this is the house he will live in. But please, we need a pastor. They could not get anybody to go. Yet, if it is headquarters, man, people go, they so sit. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I will be posted to headquarters. He was Fei telling him the story that day. He said that day was the day he wished he could speak Igbo. Being a rural community, you can't just come speaking English and they won't know what they're talking about. So that was it. They said, God, just baptize me with the Holy Spirit and the only tongue I want. You know, this is what we call Christianity. And it's terrible. Really, it is terrible. This is not how it's supposed to be. We are supposed to be able to endure. That's why it annoys me. Somebody looks at you and says, you are sitting in that country. You put the word that. The country of your father. That country. No. You should worship, in quotes now, those who stayed there. To make it a place you can come back to. That man came to my house that day. He said, thank you. Thank you very much. He said, I'm from Enugu. He used to live in the U.S. Then he came back to Nigeria. But he and his family, they are based in Port Harcourt. He said, I'm so happy that people like you stayed here because I know all this development that we are seeing is because people like you were praying and you were prophesying. I said to him, you are very correct in that one. And let me tell you what next will happen. I began to tell him the kind of development that will come to town because we're already praying for some of these things. But why I'm telling his story is I like his attitude. He wasn't one of those who are looking and say, you're here. Your mates are making money in Lagos and are doing ministry here. No. Listen, that's what Paul said to Timothy. He said, as a true soldier of Christ, he said in the preceding chapter, because two times he explained this to him. I just want to read this other portion to show that this is a very important thing that Timothy was told by Paul. He said that same thing to him in chapter 2. He said, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." He says, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." No soldier in active service entangles himself, that is, entangles, notice the word, allowing those things to distract him in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. I want you to understand that being a Christian, I'm talking about our culture, is a culture of a soldier. We are disciplined. We are able to take difficulty. There's something I wanted to say, because there are practical issues Christians must understand. That's why you walk where things don't work well. Like you work for the government, which is very common in Nigeria. You have a government institution, things often don't work as well as they should. Your aim should be, what can I do? What is the best I can do under these circumstances? Not take advantage of the bad situation to do nothing. I remember when I went for my NYC then. What's the name of the civilian that's in charge of everything? You know, you have a camp commandant. But the person really in charge of the state, the state coordinator. He came to our camp that day and he was talking to us about a first-class copper. And that thing is a mark of Christianity, what he described. He said that a copper, that is a corps member, NYC, National Youth Service Corps, a member, you know, he comes to a rural area. So this is how a normal person would do. They go there's no toilet. He starts complaining. Goes to the person, say, to the employer, "How come there's no toilet here?" He said, "But a first-class copper will say this is a village, that he will dig a pit by himself. Build," are you getting my point? "Build an outside, you know, like Americans call it, an outhouse by himself. Put things in place. And the good side about it is that other people will learn from him." The man was teaching us what it meant to be a first-class copper. I remember very well. And what am I teaching today? Christians should be first-class people in that area. They make the best. They are not complainers. That's the culture. We should be known that this man never complains. One day, I went somewhere, and one man is my senior, one of his neighboring states. He came to pick me in his car, for my car had an issue. So I know that from where he picked me up to got where he was going, all I heard was complaints. "This governor, he's not doing anything. Since he came, that is, we rode for like 15 minutes. I had 15 minutes of complaints." He said, "This town, the only business they have is keke napepo. Look at it. I had one complaint after another." I need to say these things to wake us up to how we behave sometimes. These are things that must not be heard from Christians. Our culture is that we are people that are always full of gratitude. Always full of, that is, the Bible says that love believes all things. I like the way, it was Amplified that said it, that love believes the best under every circumstance. Always looking out to make excuses for people's failings. An average human being complains morning till night. Listen, this is a culture of Christianity. We are able to endure difficulty. There's something somebody said once, that many people these days, okay, let me even not talk about Americans, Nigerians, those of us who are here. Most of us live in the kind of luxury Solomon did not know existed. Try enter a chariot. Keke napep is luxury. Yes. When you enter a chariot, the roads were not so smooth. The horse does not have shock absorber. I hope you understand what I'm saying. The horse gallops all the time. So they may say, "This is a king's horse. Ride it, whether you know you'll get back pain." No, you know, you need a skill in riding a horse. Otherwise, it will destroy your back. The way they think, you watch them in films. Jolting the man up and down. Yeah, that David went to war on the back of a horse. Respect that guy. Yeah, we are inside our keke napep. This is not what my mates are riding. Listen, your seniors years ago did not have this to ride and they saved God. Men left the comfort of their homes to come and preach the gospel. That's why you're a Christian today. You see, people, some people, they are, you know, they are pastors in churches that have branches. If you see the kind of maneuvering to go to the lucrative branches, where the secretary to the state government is, where the politicians are, the big businessmen, do you know there are pastors who actually, they discuss these things, though. That Lekki, you know, in Lagos, the returns are good. So if you invest $1 million to start a branch there, you can make your money back quick. So why do you go and spend your money in Ajegunle for what? And I'm serious. And people talk, they talk like this. They don't even realize that this is evil. And you say you are preaching the gospel. Christianity is the ability to endure. Are you getting my point? Is the ability to what? To endure. Ah, let me say this one. How can I finish talking when a lot of young men and young women, when I never add this side to her? You see, a girl wants to marry. But Abraham wants to marry you. You don't want to. He has a lot of responsibilities. He's the first son. He's the only graduate in the family. The four younger ones, one is in primary school, three are in secondary school. And the father is retired. What does it mean? He has a lot of responsibilities. So that is why you won't marry him. You are a wicked soul. You are a selfish soul. You don't know what is called Christianity. If you are a real child of God, this is how you will have reasoned. Man, that guy needs help. We need to help him. And let me tell you something. It's just for a few years. It's just for a few years. At most, at the end of 10 years, that primary school boy too will finish school. Or at least there will be enough people to share the responsibilities. What is it? Why are we like this? Sometimes we need to be woken up to what is called Christianity. That is the man you should marry. That is the guy that needs you. Especially since you don't have that amount of work. You think life was created to take you to Dubai? God created life so that you can go to Dubai. You hear women talk sometimes and you want to just beat somebody. I'm serious. You, in your mind, you're just smiling. But that's on the surface, you're smiling. Inside your heart. Uppercut. He said, no, I can't have many children. If you have many children, how will you take them on holidays? The lady who told me this, this is recently. I said, I never went on holiday. Look at where I am today. He said, no, it's good to see the world. I said, the world is on National Geographic. If I pay DSTV for 6 months, my children will see everything. When you hear people talk sometimes, you'll be looking like, are you real? He said, no, you shouldn't have more than 2.5 children because, you know. Because, you know, you have to be able to take them on holiday. And I'll be looking. Holiday. Because I can't take children on holiday, I won't have children. Jesus is Lord. You can't even find something more deceptive to tell me. This one is obvious stupidity, and you are telling it to me. The lady we were discussing that day, I said, I said to her straight, this was just recently, I wasn't chasing her. I mean, this was just, we're just talking, just the way young women talk, single lady. I looked at her, I said, look at me today. I never went on any holiday. I grew up in Ondo State. Even Lagos, my mother didn't let us go. Even Lagos. We will come and be complaining. All our mates went on holiday in Lagos. Why can't we go? We have uncles there too now. You know? I wonder why you'll be looking at you like this. Lagos, go. Lagos. In case you do not know, I went to Lagos for the first time in my life as a university graduate. I grew up in the West. My parents won't hear any of it. We are going to Whitt Lagos. So my mother would say, who do you want to go and disturb? That's her own complaint. Who do you want to go and put your problem on his or her neck? My mother will say to you, you will go to Lagos one day, you'll be tired. One day the prophecy was fulfilled. I was tired of Lagos. Even Lagos here, I did not go. And I'm proud of what I am today. Some of my friends, there's one particular sister I have in mind right now. Nobody in her family went anywhere. She grew up on the most meager of resources. But right now, she's about my age. If she counts the number of countries she has been to for you, in fact, the anger we complain about her now, you travel too much. If that is now. She can go anywhere. So you didn't carry your children on holiday to. How does that affect their life? People be talking about things that God will just be angry and remove your prosperity. I'm talking about Christian culture. Listen, we are people that endure hardship. I can't stay in that place. Why? They're always taking light. I told the story. I read this man, Samuel Doctorian. Samuel Doctorian said, this is a man who has traveled widely. Of course, he grew up in the law of suffering also, but he grew up, God blessed him all this, an evangelist, traveled widely. He said one day he went to Indonesia to go and preach. They put him in a room. He wasn't used to mosquitoes. He said lizards. I suspect it was all geckos. The man was calling lizard. He said in his room there were lizards and at night mosquitoes and all kinds of insects. He started complaining and whining. God, why did you do this to me? I've forgotten what he said happened. I've forgotten the details. I told the story here some time ago when I first read the book. He said, but I think the Holy Spirit didn't get on your knees and start thanking. He knelt down and began to thank God. Lord, I thank you for the lizard. Thank you for Indonesia. Thank you for there's an opportunity. You know, Indonesia is a predominantly Muslim country. He said, thank you for the opportunity to preach the gospel. As he was thanking God, he saw the flies, saw the mosquitoes. They were suddenly looking so beautiful. Yes. He said the colors of the lizard suddenly became bright in his eyes. He said, wow, wonderful creatures of God. Brother lizard, stay on this side. You know, the moment he started thanking God, his perception changed. Many of the things you are complaining about is because you've complained too much. The complaining is now part of your system, so you can't enjoy them. You know, the other day I was telling my wife, we were discussing that. I said, these children are coming. I said, you know, children, they're interested. We'll be saying that everywhere is hot, everywhere is hot, everywhere is hot. You go there, they are sweating, but they are sound asleep. You know, they don't wake up. You come everywhere, it's hot, everywhere is hot. The people are deep asleep. Everywhere is cold, everywhere is cold. They just call up like this, and they are deep asleep. And they wake up in the morning, very healthy, nothing goes wrong with them. It is adults that say, I can't sleep. It is too hot. I can't sleep. It's too cold. I said, you've learned to complain. Do you understand my point? Your body is now used to the complaining. In this life, if you learn to give God thanks, you know, one day I was talking with my wife. I said, you mean we survive without a generator? Because when we came to town, we lived in Transekulu. The part of town we stayed in, the light was horrible. There's general power failure. On top of that, we had the localized recurrent power failure. So what I used to do is when I come and I look and my neighbors have power, I know we have a problem again. I will drive to NEPA at night to go and bring a NEPA man to come and fix our transformer at night. Only two or three of us did that in the whole neighborhood of more than 10 streets or so. So there are times, and we didn't have a generator. One day I asked my wife, I said, ha, but we survived that time now. Very happily too. I'm now wondering that when they take light, I can't sleep again. Man, don't spoil. You know what they call spoiling? The problem is that a lot of our complaints are we are spoilt. That's the point I'm making. We are spoilt. What am I teaching to Christians today? Listen, then let's be spoilt. Let's be true soldiers of Christ. We must be people that can endure hardship. You don't refuse to marry a man simply because you think he has responsibilities. That is the guy that needs you. Did you not see in the scriptures that it was because Adam needed help that God made Eve? Did he make Eve so that they can go to Dubai? You know, let me tell you something there. There are things you do in life, it's obvious you are faithless and God is not going to answer you later when you claim you are praying. No, let me make that statement. Let me make that statement. I know what I'm saying. There are things you do today. You've been praying in 15 years now. You don't know why your faith doesn't work. You don't realize that you don't have the faith. That's what God is saying. What prayer are you praying? It's in the name of Jesus. By the power of the faith. God says, shut up. You don't have any faith. So what do you mean I don't have any faith? 5 years ago, marry a man. He said because he has responsibility. Did you not say that wisdom said, Now I'm talking. You are not listening. One day, you will call. I will not answer. Listen, there are things you must repent of. Now that I'm preaching it, you are having memories. Better start saying, God, I'm sorry. You see, people are looking for who. They're just thinking of themselves alone. You were created to bless somebody else. You know, I don't know whether this story will be appropriate or not. This way, let's just tell it first. Israel and Felix, you know that woman that comes here once in a while, the woman that with the tapes, the senior woman, you know, with the tapes. She's a retired woman from UNT. In fact, they have a fellowship, I'm their chaplain, all right? So we're having some things now, tomorrow, all right? One day we're supposed to have a meeting of that fellowship because we are three of us control things, me, her, and one of my colleagues, all right? They asked me a few months ago to be their chaplain, so the guy was there before. Got transferred. He's a clergyman. So I had gone there to preach before. They now approached me that I should be their chaplain. So I'm a chaplain, all right? But when they were supposed to have a meeting, listen to this. She said that she won't be able to come on time because she has to take care of, she mentioned one guy's name. I can't remember. Let's just call the guy Good Luck, all right? Just because that was the president's name, all right? So I have to take care of Good Luck. So I'm like, who's Good Luck? She now said, the other man, I said, let me tell you the story about Good Luck. Started telling me the story. Then I said, no, I've heard of Good Luck before. There was a day I was in my CMAC's office. CMAC is the second in command in my teaching hospital. So, and they were preparing plaques to honor people at the end of the year. So today there's a particular nurse, one of our senior nurses they want to honor with one of the plaques. That what she does is this, listen to this. That there's this little boy who one day, the boy has cerebral palsy. I don't know how many of you know what they call cerebral palsy. Severe cerebral palsy. He can't do anything for himself. But his brain works. But he can hardly talk, but he can't walk at all. Alright? Has no control. His whole body is stiff. So the father brought him to hospital for a doctor to check. They now said, let me go and buy something. And they never saw him again. He abandoned the boy in the hospital. This was years ago. So he stays on the wards. So the hospital takes care of him. Every time there's a public holiday or there is a strike, that is this particular nurse that takes him home. He stays in her house until that season is over. It's a public holiday, it's a long weekend, stuff like that. Then, of course, she brings him back. So the hospital appreciated it so much, so they decided to just give her a plaque just to say thank you. That was when I heard of that story. So this woman we're talking about, that's this woman we're talking about. So tell me, she can't come for the meeting. Why? Because one day she went to the hospital, saw the boy, and said, this boy needs a home. And the Holy Spirit said, why don't you give him a home? So she went back, talked to my CMD, and took a completely disabled boy into her house. Now she has to care for him morning, afternoon, and night. That's why she couldn't come for meeting that day. That no, I can't come for the meeting early. I have to take care of him first in the morning. This rubbish gospel we preach that we only give to get. May God not punish us. Selfish people that we have become. What is she going to get out of it? Nothing. So, of course, a lot of work. So that day when we were speaking, my colleague said that she's a large-hearted woman. She said, no, you are describing me wrongly. I'm a woman under authority. That's what she said. That's Christianity we are talking about. Ability to endure hardship. You're not telling a young woman, you are working, God is blessing you, you want to marry a man, you've checked his CV, as if you are glow, MTN. How many of you are in the family? Do you have brothers? I would have loved to marry, but I heard his mother is sick. That is why he needs you. So, we haven't seen problems. Oh, God. You know, my wife and I were talking about her father today. My father-in-law is number one of 23 children. And decided that as many as possible after him will go to school. Brilliant man. When he was in school, he had scholarship. He was using his scholarship to train people who were coming up after him. a son of farmers. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But he said, no, I cannot be the only one in this family that will go to school. Other people, he said, if only you go to school, then you have problems later. So he spent the first many years of his life training other people. Look, I just like to talk about him because it's a story I know, and did it make him poorer in life? No. Of course, he struggled for a long time. The last time we went, that is, he and his wife. One day, my mother-in-law was telling me a story. My father-in-law pays fees for one of his younger ones on the road with half of his month's salary. On the road, thieves collected the boy, beat him, collected the money. He came back home. He gave him the balance half. My mother-in-law told me, she said, that day, I went to the market to sell water so we could eat. What's wrong with people? They can't help people anymore. You don't have to marry a man who bought a car. You're a goat. She said she went, they were not pure water at that time. Water is you pour into a bag, you tie it. In urban market in Benin. By that time, she had had my wife, or at least her senior sister. Last year, we went to my father-in-law's place to come and dedicate a house he built for 300 million naira. Last year. I showed some of you the pictures. Apostle, where are you? He came to the village to come and see it. All the children have grown. He's not poorer. I'm telling you, he was poor that time. He said he used to tap rubber to go to school because they are from the Delta State. You know they call rubber? Many of you don't know what they call rubber. Did he become poorer? Of course, as he was increasing, God was blessing his wife. He got to a time, he said, let me just put a house in the village. 300 million naira was what he spent. I never asked him the value of the one they put in my mother-in-law's village. That one had 5 houses in the compound. 5. You tell young people to make small sacrifices. Say, he has responsibility, I cannot marry him. Holy. 15 years I start making prayers that God can't answer. Because the fact is, you do not have any faith. Listen, my message for you today is endure hardship. What did I say?
Endure hardship.
What did I say?
Endure hardship.
Listen, a day should just wake up and punish yourself just for the sake of Christ. You get my point? Your pay salary in the beginning of the month, just go. Share to everybody. Remain only 200 naira. So let me even see what it is to suffer for 1 month, self. No, sometimes I think we should do this kind of crazy things. Before you just think that life, this morning, we're cutting my son's hair. He said, you should cut like this. I said, hey, do you want to look like Agbero? He said, what is that? He don't know, my son doesn't know what Agbero is. As the motor parked out, he was as confused as when I said Agbero. I said, this boy has never been to a motor park. I told him, you and Akin, I said, next time we are going to Benin, you go and Faith Motors. Go there. Go there and go and see them drag your bag. Honestly. And if you know my son Victor, the way he talks, he said, I don't know what that is. And a matter of fact, and the boy had never heard of Agbero. He doesn't know what Agbero. Everywhere he has gone, the car is on, the AC is on. Get into the car. Come on, shift. Now I'm sitting at the back, now sit down, and then daddy, the DVD in the car is not working. Those are the kind of stories I hear. Such people, they should wake up one day and just say, no. I'm going to Lagos. And I'm going by Apuruka. I'm not going to let you break down the road. Let me see you the other side of life. Sometimes we should do things like that to ourselves, honestly. Because the gospel we preach these days, we are self-absorbed, and it's not good. It's not good. It is not good. The mark of Christianity is that we can do what? Endure hardship. We can. And like I said, it's a culture with us. It has to be a culture. Woman invited me, daddy, to come and preach. He said, we stay in a particular camp. If you don't like it, we can put it in a hotel. I asked the man, are you staying there? He said, yes. I said, no problem, sir. We will stay there. If you, inviting me, can stay there, I can stay there too. Was I born in a hotel? Do you get what I'm saying? All these one people, your person just spoil anyhow. When was the first time I slept in a room with an air conditioner? I was a full-grown adult. Maybe I was a university graduate. Because in my house when I grew up, there was no AC. Why am I pretending now as if I didn't grow up in a normal home? No, if you're a preacher, you have to be careful that people don't spoil you. You have to be careful. One day, one man was coming to town to preach in Enugu here. They said that he only sleeps on linen bed sheets. So they should go to the hotel and replace the bed sheet. My mind, if I mean to invite you, don't come. Don't come. All these fine hotels in Enugu, I have to go and inspect their bed sheet because you are coming. What are you, Jesus Christ? Even Jesus himself. Look, I know him. He will have slept on the floor. Yeah, he will have slept on the floor. I will make the linen bed sheet for him, but I know him. He won't want me to do that. Ah, look, you have to tame yourself as a preacher. Let nobody spoil you when you are now coming. Everything must be prim and proper. No. Please, I hope I've made my point. I think I can begin to close now. Now, what's the point we have made so far today, please? And that's the fact that we are known for ability to what? Endure. That's it. That's what marks us out as Christians. It's not the ability to get. Paul said to Timothy, endure hardship. Whatever you are doing in life, the fact that things are tough is not a sign that God is not with you. That's not the sign that God is not with you. The sign that God is with you is that you can take that difficulty. Do you understand my point? It does not break you. Your strength, the one that God gives you, is the strength that is inside you to be able to handle the difficulty. That difficulty does not break you. It doesn't break you. I tell the story all the time when I was a resident. By the middle of the month, I would be flat broke. I didn't have money to go anywhere again. But it didn't break me. That time, everybody said, go here, you will make more money. I said, no. In my mind, I've been called to preach, and my place where I'm supposed to preach is here. It did not break me. And the sign of faith is that difficulties don't break you. That's what we are talking about. It is not that you don't have difficulty. Paul said, I've learned to abound. I've learned how to abase. In all of these things, I am more than a conqueror. Are you getting my point? I can do all things, he said, through Christ who strengthens me. That is what it is. The ability to take a beating and to keep going despite the difficulty. Do you follow my point? Running away from difficulty is not a sign of Christianity. You have faith doesn't mean you won't have difficult times. Believe me, you will have difficult times. But what happens to you under those difficult times is what we are talking about. You don't just abandon a project. I know people that they've done 10 projects in the last few years. Why? Because every project will come up with a difficult time. But when they has come up early, they leave it. They leave it. I like to tell you the story of Kingdom World Ministries. We come here, we are looking for space. You know, people come, we broadcast here and there, you know. When we first started preaching, I organized a program in this town. I hired the hall. The last day, it was just me, my wife, and my friend. Do you get what I said? I printed flyers. I printed hundreds of flyers and shared all of them out. 3-day teaching. The last day, let us pray. It was Pastor Banky, Mrs. Banky, and Friend Banky. 3 people. 3. And listen to me, it was almost 2 people. Because my friend traveled that day for a function. And he and his wife just arrived. He got home, removed the clothes he was wearing, wore another thing, and left his wife and ran down sweating. 3 of us sat down in that place. I was a preacher, and I preached as if the whole of Enugu came. I still have the tapes. I have not had the boldness to listen to the tapes. They're still in my house. Did I stop? No. In fact, you know, that my friend is a real friend. A few weeks ago, he was one that sent us $2,000 for the ministry. He's a real friend. That day, we were 3. I've seen people close church. They close the shop of church because they've been there for a few years. The members not plenty. You have to do what? Endure hardship. That one, after I finished that program, of course, you learn everything. After I finished the program, I calculated. I said, this method of this ministry, it doesn't work. It's not good. It's costing a lot of money for little. That was when we now rented this place. I found that it's better overall to have our own place, use it when we want. Then I started teaching the gospel here. And that time again, so again was me, my wife, my younger brother Deji, who was our technical. It was Israel, Felix, Oyeye, all of them combined, one person. He was the only person. And I would hold my microphone like this. He would sit down there, that corner, and be recording. If you listen to the message, man on assignment, that's how it was preached. Understanding the new covenant, that's how it was preached. That's how we preach the message. All of us here are not sure, say we reach five. If we are 10, 6 came from my home. I'm telling you the truth. But I didn't care. All that mattered was that I was preaching and we're recording the things. And as at now, we have almost 1,000 completely recorded messages on the internet, not the one we have archived, that you can download from our website at a time. Almost 1,000. Tell your neighbor, endure hardship. Tell the person, your business will grow. Your family will be sweet. Say, your husband will become rich. Hey, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe, give me a loud amen.
Amen.
All right, let's bow down heads and just begin to give the Lord thanks for today. Say, Lord, thank you for the strength to endure. Thank you, Lord, for that strength to endure. Say, thank you, Lord, for the strength to endure. Thank you, Lord, for the strength to endure. If you are blessed today, give me an amen.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say, you have the grace,
to endure anything.
You have the grace
to
be a true soldier of Christ.
You have the grace
to live for Christ.
You have the grace
not to be broken by any difficulty. Tell the person, you will not be broken.
You will not be broken.
See, there's a reason why the Lord said concerning Jesus Christ that, you know, he said that none of his bones will be broken with everything that happened to Jesus. All right? None of his bones, all right, was broken. Not one. The Lord did that for a particular reason. They beat him. They dropped him. He fell down. The cross fell on him. Mel Gibson is a very wicked man. You know what I'm saying? There's a particular part in that film, man, when he fell on that cross. Anytime I watch it, I still, you know, I still cringe till now. Aye. But none of his bones, all right, broke. Not one. They wanted to, on the cross, normally they would break the legs of the thieves when they don't die on time. The reason is that without the leg support, the hands will flay out so much, they won't be able to breathe. So they will not die from inability to breathe. But by that time, his own spirit had left, and then they got there, and his bone was not broken. What is a sign for us? It shows that we can endure anything, and yet we will not be broken. Are you getting my point? With the Spirit of Christ in you, you will not be broken.
Amen.
Let me say it again. With the Spirit of Christ in you, you will not be broken.
Amen.
Listen, what you just need to do is endure. Jesus did not say enjoy. That's what people don't realize. They think that, how will I enjoy my life? Listen, God didn't say enjoy. He said what?
Endure.
I was telling the story of my parents-in-law then. I don't think it was a funny thing. When you earn salary, your younger one collects to go to school, the whole thing. But he endured. And that's what we're talking about. You won't die at that time. You will have a story to tell later. God will bless you in this your life. Somebody give me an amen.
Amen.
Listen, what you are doing with difficulty today, a day will come, you will do 10 times that and you won't feel it.
Amen.
You are helping somebody today. It's costing you half of your income. Listen, one day you will do that for 100 people. And you, in fact, your wife won't even tell you she did it. She will have taken money, done it, and you won't know the money is gone. That's how prosperous you will be in this life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will make all grace abound towards you. Give me an amen.
Amen.
You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
And you are bound to every good work.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, he said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now the emphasis that I'm walking through, I am not dying there. Are you getting my point? Let me say to you, you are only passing through. You will not die there in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The affliction that has afflicted over the last few weeks cannot kill you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus died to deliver you from every affliction. Therefore, you are delivered in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You may have been broke. Listen to me. Prosperity has come to you today in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
for maintaining your faith and your confession in the midst of your adversity. Goodness and mercy has come to you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, where you were standing, I didn't have a job. The same place you will stand and be giving out people jobs that you created in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For the period of your endurance, God will cause his glory to shine upon you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
Let's share the grace in fellowship quickly.